Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey there, folks. Before we start today's episode of the Chase Thomas Podcast, I'd just like to remind you guys that you can check out my daily sports column. It's free by going to sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. You can just check out my Twitter to find the link there. Go check out chasethomaspodcast.com. There's a link on that page. But yeah, go check it out every day. New sports story in your email inbox. Yeah, go tell a friend, share it out, send it to anyone else you think would like the newsletter. But yes, every single day, go to sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. Just Google Sports Renaissance Man, Chase Thomas, whatever you're most comfortable with, go do that. If you are an Apple Podcast listener, don't forget to leave this show a 5-star rating and a review. It's important to help the show continue to grow. And last thing, very quickly, but please email me at chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com to get your mailbag question in or any other questions that you might have about the show, about the column, anything like that. New mailbag columns go up every Friday. If you have any questions for the weekly shows that you would like us to answer on air, whether it's John Taylor on Wednesdays, Evan Swords on Mondays, the sports reporters on Fridays, make sure to get those questions in and we'll read them on the show, or I'll answer your questions in the mailbag on the newsletter. So go do that. Again, that's chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com. Leave the show a 5-star rating and review. Follow on Apple Podcasts if you can. I think that's it. All right, Uncle Darren, let's go.
Sports reporters assemble!
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, you heard it. The sports reporters, we have indeed assembled on this beautiful Friday afternoon, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee, where I am joined by my fellow sports reporters, as I am every single week. It's Andrew Hammond up there in the Detroit Free Press. Andrew, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Not too bad. Got my run in, feeling good. I'm running the endorphin high. I run every day now. I'm officially the guy running every day, and I am addicted to the track, is what I found. And I did a 6:05 mile yesterday, so nice. I'm feeling good at 30 that I can still pull that off when I'm just like, I just wanted to see where I'm at stamina-wise these days. Because it's good to fight against this bad pandemic, is to make sure your lungs are operating at a pretty healthy level, I would guess. Also here, Robert Silverman of the Daily Beast. Robert.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, guys, buddy.
How's it going? My lungs are doing fine. I'm doing full multi today.
I was going to say, like, you sound like craggly old veteran chief cop on a...
every single Nick Nolte role sounds like he woke up from a bad hangover, and the first thing he did was grab a pack of Marlboro Reds, and he's like sitting there on a bed, half dressed, hair a mess, and he's like, oh,
so
hell.
So the beginning of North Dallas 40?
Yeah.
Okay,
Every Nolte role is... Somehow my favorite Nick Nolte fact is that he manages to keep that North Dallas 40 energy going in the first Hulk movie. There are at least, like,
not seen the first Hulk movie.
Well, you know, it's a little different. It's not awful.
Yeah.
CGI is not great, but there is a lot of Nick Nolte going, like, when he turns into the Absorbing Man, even going, oh hell.
And oh, really, that's like, perfect.
Yeah, and it's really delightful that he still continues Nolte-ing regardless of the project.
Love it.
I don't have anything to add to that. I did finish season one of Banshee last night.
Thoughts, comments?
It is so fucking good. Love that show. That show is like a beautiful mix between... I mean, it has a bunch of Wire characters, which I appreciate, but like, I like that it's just like a weird cross between The Wire and Deadwood. It's great. I love it so much.
What was Banshee on?
HBO.
That's right. Because I remember watching it like for a few episodes, and then something else caught my attention, and I was like, oh, I need to go back and watch that. And I never did.
So you're saying it's not a X-Men standalone Sean Cassidy Banshee story?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Got it. No problem.
Is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is still the best comic book movie, right? Like, we still all agree on that.
This. It's Aquaman, actually.
It's not Aquaman.
Is Aquaman.
It's Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I don't know. Like, I rewatched that the other day.
That's a better movie, but there are two different things we're talking about here. One is, you asked what is the best comic book movie. And while Into the Spider-Verse is clearly an awesome, superior movie with all these kinds of fun manga influences, I'm sorry, the best comic book movie is Aquaman because it's utterly ridiculous and it knows it.
Yeah. In terms of just like, hey, we're going to start on like a 14 and then we're going to take it to like a 20, even when the scale is 1 to 10, I love how they just kind of embrace that.
They are traveling around in Atlantis on sharks with lasers mounted on them.
Oh, so Dr. Evil's dream come true.
Right.
There you go.
They just went for it and said, you know what? What if these guys were sharks? What if those sharks had lasers?
Boom. Oh, have y'all seen the deleted scenes of Austin Powers? Have you watched
those?
Oh,
they're hilarious.
Oh, my God. Of them caught the bit.
Hilarious.
It's incredible. I had just discovered them not too long. Like, Austin Powers is just a delight. I think the girlfriend and I are going to rewatch it either this weekend or next. But, like, the cuts are just amazing. It's incredible. Also,
speaking of, like, shameless IP hawking, I'm, of course, in watching all kinds of sporting events on TV, I'm flooded with ads for the new Jungle Cruise movie, which apparently, and I wasn't aware of this, is some kind of Disneyland.
It's based on a Disney ride. Yeah.
Oh, is it really? I didn't even know this either. Yeah. I've never been to Disney
like
World.
Pirates of the Caribbean. It's a ride. So they're basically making an hour and 30-minute, 2-hour long commercial for their ride, which was the whole basis for Pirates of the Caribbean as well. But I like it. I'm intrigued. One, because The Rock usually finds a way to be delightful. And two, they basically said, well, hey, what if we remade The African Queen? But,
oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
But Bogart and Hepburn, what if they fought zombies and stuff?
Yeah, that's all it is. By the way, the fact that Bob, you and I both know what the African Queen, like what the kind of the premise of the movie is. Fist bump over the mic to you, sir.
You got it. It's look, man. It's just Fitzcarraldo, but with The Rock as Fitzcarraldo. Who doesn't like that?
It's fantastic.
Chase, how many Werner Herzog movies have you seen?
I'm gonna go with zero.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Look, I highly recommend you both read Klaus Kinski's autobiography. Speaking of things that start at 14 and keep going, I think it's probable that 80% of it is entirely fictional. But regardless, Kinski, who really was one an unfathomably great actor and also a complete lunatic. The book is just, I would say two-thirds of it is devoted to his various sexual escapades. Again, no way of knowing what percentage are true at all. And the other third is to stay is to saying things about Werner Herzog, like, he was a foul man and I despised his fart-laden trousers. I thought I would kill him today. It's great.
Yeah, but if I just want to, like, read a book that, or if I want to read a biography that's basically like, oh, that, man, that might be kind of bullshit, I'll just read the Robert Evans book, Kid Stays in the Picture.
I have not read it. I saw the
documentary is fantastic. I read the book first and then watched the movie and then watched the documentary. I was very disappointed in the documentary because all the fun stuff in the
book. Did they sand down all the rough edges? Did they clean it up a little?
So, okay, so you know after he breaks up with Ally McGraw, like they get divorced. Like, the book basically just says, yeah, I became a coke-snorting man for like three chapters while creating some of the greatest cinema of our time. But the funny thing is, like, in the movie, he basically just kind of like, and then I started cocaine. And basically it's like a montage of his career, and it's set to Machine Gun by the Commodores, which is great. It's perfect, but I'm like, I read the book. You're missing basically a lot of that might be bullshit, and then I realized, you know what, if he put that on screen, some of the escapades and some of the things that he did, I'm like, yeah, there might be a Me Too moment.
It's up there. The Evans stuff, which I've only read about secondhand in various places, is definitely up there with David Bowie's
are we getting a full New York moment? Hey, I'm walking here on the pod.
Yeah, there's a little traffic going.
fantastic.
David Bowie's really sort of down Thin White Duke years, when he was evidently, according to Bowie, living on a diet consisting of milk, red peppers, and cocaine.
Yeah, so when David Bowie recorded Heroes?
Yeah.
You've heard the backstory behind that, right?
I think so, but...
Okay, so basically he... I don't know if it was Heroes or... one of the albums, like... either Hero... I want to say it was Heroes. But basically, before he recorded the album, before he recorded the song, he, like, just gotten out of rehab and for heroin or whatever.
Yeah. And
the thing that he basically did was, like...
Station. It was either Station to Station or Heroes, and Heroes is when he's living in Berlin, so probably Heroes.
And he basically, like, the first thing he does, they're like, hey, yeah, once you get out of rehab, we're going to go record. And he's like, well, first let me go to the bar. And then he basically spends, like, the next 12-hour, like a 12-hour binge at the bar, goes straight from the bar and records one of the greatest rock songs of the decade.
Substance abuse is a tricky thing, mainly a bad one, but tricky. And occasionally you can get very wild bursts of creativity, as we've discussed today.
Mm. Which naturally leads us to Gus Johnson and Akib Talib teaming up. Andrew, did you see this? That just broke.
No, what?
So Richard Deitch? Richard Deitch?
Yeah.
Deitch?
Deitch? Yeah.
Deutsch.
Deutsch. He revealed that Gus Johnson and Akib Talib are going to team up this year for some NFL games on Fox. That should be the Monday Night Football duo.
So here's the thing about Akib Talib.
He's great.
Akib Talib is, like, he has a lot of energy, but it's one of those things where it's like, if you're expecting a Mark Schlereth or a
Joel
Klatt or a very meticulous and well-thought approach, you are not going to get that. You're going to get the complete opposite, which can be great, which can be fine. Like, he enjoys doing, because I saw him a few times during the pandemic covering games. He enjoys the game. He's very passionate about it. So, honestly, I'm kind of excited for it. Like, I think it would work. I think it'll be very, very successful.
Hmm. Anytime we get Gus Johnson also on more big time broadcasts, I'm here for it. A couple of quick things. I wrote about this this morning, but I'm curious from you, from y'all's perspective. Did you watch the draft live? Are y'all draft watching people, or do y'all follow my? Okay, so y'all do it live.
Yeah, I kind of had to because the Pistons had the number one pick last night. So
yeah. They did.
Who did they get later in the draft? I missed out on that.
They got Isaiah Livers and they got Luka Garza. I'm fascinated how Luka is going to fit in the NBA.
Well, we could just watch some Josh Harrelson tape.
I don't want to watch Josh Harrelson tape.
It's a deep cut for the diehard UK fans.
It was, and yeah, I'm just like, no, I don't want to do that. I love my
George Harrelson. You mean George Harrelson? I think is playing abroad right now. I don't think it's China. It might be Bulgaria. He's doing quite well abroad. It's not full on like Hamid Haddadi putting up, you know, 30 and 20 every night in the.
Was that the dude from Iran?
Yes, yeah. That was the Grizzlies.
Oh my
pick.
God! Yes. By the way, he had the perfect big guy noon ball energy that I loved. Mm. Like I was watching that game halfway asleep, and I'm just like, dude, I don't know what's going on in this game, but this dude is. Like he's killing it right now, and I love it.
He's a big 7'2" dude who is too slow to make it in the NBA, but
and he knows his. And I love it. It's like they know the coach, the Iran coach knows where he like knows the limits of what he can do with him on offense. And basically, it is just hey, as they swing the ball around, you post up, dude.
Yeah. It's like him and extremely handsome 40-plus Luis Scola thriving in the
league. Dude, Luis Scola, my goodness, what a handsome son of a bitch.
That's a good-looking man. He is an attractive, rugged man.
I mean, he's still an asshole because, you know, I can't stand him. But that's a handsome son of a bitch, yeah. Mm. No, I'm still mad about them winning gold in 2004, so yeah, sorry. There's some shit I still can't get over.
That's okay. I was happy because of Manu, but it's okay.
Oh, yeah, Manu's cool, but no, fuck them dudes.
I was having reading this morning, I didn't watch it live last night, and I don't understand the point. I don't get it. I get it from a work perspective when you have to do it, and it's part of your job, but like, seeing the emergency reactions and all that kind of stuff. Like Tom Ziller had a really good piece for Good Morning It's Basketball, Let's Basketball, that I would highly encourage everybody to check out. But like, I don't see the point. I don't know. Like Kate Cunningham might be good. Yeah, it's just I don't know.
Hey Chase, buddy. Yeah. Welcome to me in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Overreactions at this point. Because it's you're doing it for clicks, you're doing it for engagement, and nobody
it's just not for
is
me.
A true draft expert.
I think of the Bill Burr bit where he's like,
except for Sam Vecenie. Sam Vecenie writes like 130,000 words about every process.
Yeah, no, and see, there's a section of guys who
that guy eats tape like you read about.
Yeah, and so there's a segment of guys where I'm like. If I don't want to listen to a steaming hot take like right after their work is to me it's more digestible because they're going to give you all the nuts and bolts, everything you need to know, and it's not going to be in this fashion of here's a take, boom, react to me, to quote a line from Jim Rome. I don't need that.
I don't want it. Like, I don't care. There were Tennessee fans that were just like waiting up for Keon Serio. I'm like, I don't care. You'll find out tomorrow. What are you doing? Why are you burning an hour and a half of your night? Like, I'm just sitting over there reading my book after wrapping up the pod. I'm not looking at my phone or any of that. I'm just like, I'll read about it in the morning. I'll see what the Hawks do in the morning.
I get from a Tennessee standpoint, like, but, you know, for the Celtics, I was like, oh, I forgot. Do we have a first round pick? Because if you haven't been paying attention to basketball, Danny Ainge, no longer with the Celtics, thank you God, decided to just kind of throw a bunch of picks around, and for about, what, almost a decade. So it's like, oh, we don't have a first round pick. Yeah. After the Pistons were done, and I paid attention to see if any Michigan or Michigan State guys got picked, I was done for the night. I'm like, I'm good. Let me watch Suni Lee at the Olympics, a more entertaining event.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sicko, but I like watching the draft. My girlfriend refers to it as the great reading of names.
Yes.
And thinks it's the dumbest possible form of entertainment I could consume.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it. I went to the draft. I've gone to cover the draft a couple of times. There were both times. It's such a more bizarre experience without the sheen of the broadcast crew sort of turning it into, you know, a 3 to 4 hour long advertisement for the NBA.
Oh, you mean you didn't want to hear Kendrick Perkins?
Perk is a beast. That's my only comment about Kendrick Perkins. Perk is a beast. Everyone knows that.
Did you see him try to pronounce Moses Moody last night? I did watch that this morning.
You guys remember the website perkisabeast.com?
I do not.
Yeah.
Remember David Stern as a frog?
PerkIsABeast.com was right up there with Larry Hughes, please stop shooting.com.
Oh, I remember that.
In like old early 2010s NBA vloggy content. Yeah.
We used to make jokes about stop shooting LarryHughes.com.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good times. Whatever. Like, it's very.
Hold on, I got Hoop Speaks Beckley Mason on the line. We're remembering some guys, Beckley. How are things? No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Wow. Beckley and I, if he was on the line, I would mention that Beckley and I played pickup ball at Sloan 1 year. And I'm not good at basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Not really at all, especially at my advanced years. So I wasn't that good to begin with. But, I really hacked the hell out of Beckley Mason.
He's a good shooter.
yeah. Play ball with this guy one time. Yeah, you just beat the shit out of him.
I went full Anthony Mason.
Wow.
And it wasn't out of malice or
okay, anger. Sure, Bob.
No, I was.
What do you have against Beckley? He's a great writer, an NBA legend. Great
person. I have absolutely nothing against Beckley Mason.
He's been on this podcast. I love Beckley.
I literally, there's nothing to good. I have apologized to him for doing this, but. Mm-hmm. In that moment during the game and afterwards online. But I fouled him really, really hard because I was tired and frustrated with getting washed by everyone else on the court. So I took out some of my angry man frustration on Beckley, and I apologize for that.
You took out your self-hating angst on a meaningless, you know, person. Like, rude. Mm. Rude.
Speaking of rude, the conversation around Simone Biles this week.
Oh, God. Sorry. Nothing again. No, it is. By the way, this is a pro Simone Biles segment of the pod.
Well, it's also, we can just say a pro Simone Biles podcast. Like, that is at the forefront here. And I texted you guys where I was like, I saw this, which feels like days ago, of Name Redacted tweeting this out. And at that point, I was like, I don't want this in my life anymore. Like, it's clearly like there's only so much grift that I can handle, and I don't want it anymore. This is just bad faith. This is just garbage, and it doesn't help anything. It just, I don't want this stewing around the my just atmosphere. I don't want it, and I'm out of it. I can't do it anymore because it's just bad, and it's just bad to be bad.
If you guys don't already, I recommend subscribing to Charlie Wurzel's Galaxy Brain. Wurzel is he used to be a reporter for the New York Times and BuzzFeed before that, and he's on Substack now. But he writes really good stuff, and he's a really good reporter too. And he just said, like, he went into the Biles thing, and the thing he said, which I thought was really smart and good, as opposed to sort of getting, it's that a lot of this is the fault of the way that the speed and the ferocity with which what happened to Biles gets flattened into, you know, culture war, and particularly culture war on Twitter. And especially because it was like, you know, the trending topic on Twitter at that point was about Matt Walsh, who's a podcaster for, you know, the Daily Wire, and he made some random comment about Michael Jordan. And so the Twitter trending topic was like mentioning this Matt Walsh tweet that everyone got mad at for being dumb. And the point is, like, Matt Walsh wrote that because he knows that if people get mad on it, mad at it, it helps him. And Twitter, instead of somehow making it clear what happened to Simone Biles, which is in theory what this story should be about, just turned it into all of the people getting mad at Walsh or all of the people cheering on Walsh. And at a certain point, there's no difference between the anger and the celebration. It all becomes incredibly similar, and it feels the same, and it leaves people feeling awful. Whereas, you know, Biles stepping away is, and I, there's just no point in trying to say, like, well, here's why you, person who is calling Biles a quitter, are wrong. And there's no point even in saying, here's why you, person who is getting mad about this, are right. There is no right and wrong. It's
a exercise in futility.
God, I can't remember the phrase right now. It's a flattening of the context.
Mm.
And what happens is that, like, all of that context gets absolutely just obliterated because of the way now so many people find out about these things. Like, I mean, if you wanted to find out why Simone Biles quit and what her history is and how that relates to, you know, any of her struggles over the last couple of years, before getting into the entire Larry Nassar scandal, which is a part of it too, and all of which is, like, that's difficult to engage with for anyone. But that choice doesn't happen because the noise surrounding the fight drowns it all out. And again, there's a phrase, it's like telescoping context or something like that, I can't remember, and it's driving me nuts. But in any case, read Charlie Rozelle's Galaxy Brain, and he will explain this far better than I just did. And it was just like, it was, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I need to log out and ignore this because it's not making anyone feel better. And I'm, you know, look, I'm trying to avoid, you know, quote tweeting dinguses because, one, it's part of their content, their, you know,
mm-hmm.
engagement strategy. And two, what is me getting mad about it help? I mean, I'm sure I'll fall off the wagon and do it at some point.
It's just hard not to see the Charlie Kirk video and say something. Where you're just like,
yes, of course it is. That's what it's designed to do.
Yeah.
And Twitter is a machine that functions on making you mad about things more than anything. Mad or fearful. That's what it does. That's why, like, you know, people say, well, why can't they get rid of the, you know, person X who I find hateful on this website? And it's because, you know, bottom line, it's not like Twitter, you know, like, the way it functions is about making you feel mad and bad. I there's no reason, like, you know, they'll trim some people at the edges when things get too heated, but they're not actually interested in doing something that is contrary to making people feel mad and bad. There is nothing for Twitter to do other than make people feel mad and bad. It'd be like asking, you know, it would be like asking a pizzeria to, like, come up with something other than making pizza. And at that point, it stops being a pizzeria.
And it's one of those things where I think whether it's by, I don't know if it's by design or if it's, you know, just ignorance, there's this, I look at it like with the internet. The better angels of our, you know, there's enough good people out there that they can stop the bad people. But it's like, if you're giving the bad people a platform, you aren't helping. You can't sit there and go, oh, well, this is not who we are. It's like, dude, stop disconnecting yourself from reality. Like, there's, and that's one of the things I was happy about. Like, my timeline was mostly, oh, Simone Biles did a good thing, like, good for her, you know? But yeah, there's this segment of Twitter that is, I need to search bad faith arguments and I need to have bad faith takes, and people have bought into that. And generally, when we would just discard those things, people have pretty much given money to that and are now funding it. high redacted networks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you type in Charlie Kirk right now, the first two words after that comes up is Simone Biles. Like, there's a reason for all of this. It's just monetary gain. It's just, it's bad faith garbage just to increase clicks and increase clout. It's the dumbest circular problem that I can't engage with anymore.
I'm not poo-pooing people who spend a ton of time on Twitter. That would be a little bit hypocritical. Because I'm on it 24/7 and I get the appeal. Look, it is absolutely fun to fire off a good dunk. That's fun. It makes you feel good for a second. It makes you feel like, okay, for a moment, I got to tell some pud puller that, you know, to go to hell. But it doesn't, it accomplishes absolutely nothing. In fact, it accomplishes the exact same thing you want to accomplish, which is to make these people's voices less loud and prominent. This is not an anti-free speech argument, to clarify. Like, these people absolutely have the right to speak. I just don't think, I think it would behoove a lot of us to not give them a megaphone as much as we do. And it's very tricky. Look, it's tricky when you're reporting about a lot of these figures, which I have, and this is something I go back on in my, you know, reporting all the time. At what point are you simply feeding into their content engagement strategy, and at what point are you telling true stories about the way the world works? And it's, there's no definitive answer, and it is absolutely something that I think about every time I write about one of these things. And I've written about some loud internet people before, as you y'all may be aware. You're not subscribed to BobSilvermanCoolGuy.com, where you can find all of my work. But yeah, it's very hard, and it's something that I'm thinking about a lot right now. I don't have an answer. I wish I did.
Well, we have to end there, guys. But Bob, what would you like to plug as we wrap up here on this Friday afternoon edition?
I've got a story finally coming on Sunday at the Daily Beast. If you follow me at Bob Saeta, you will see me tweeting about it. I'm going to keep a little bit in suspense about what it is, although I believe it relates fairly directly to some of the things we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes. Needless to say, it's a story I've been working very hard on and working on for a while, so I really do hope everyone gives it a read. And again, it'll be on the Daily Beast homepage and my Twitter at Bob BobSaietta.
Andrew, what about you?
There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Basically, just I would say not much about what I've got going on, or not as much about what I've got going on, but I would say that continue to pay attention to what athletes are saying about mental health, and just athletes who are open about talking about health and personal issues as compared to some athletes, mainly who play in the league called the NFL, who are very adamant about their personal decisions when it comes to their health. Because I think you're seeing a very large gap between athletes who are comfortable with talking about things and athletes who aren't comfortable talking about it. So I think that's something that needs to be watched, because I think we're going to hit critical mass maybe sooner rather than later with preseason games and travel and more training camp. So just pay attention to that.
Mm. Absolutely. Well, we can find you both at Bob Saeta and Aham Free Press. So go do that. For myself at Chase_Thomas. But these are the sports reporters, and we will be back next Friday. You guys have a great weekend, and I will talk to you soon.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.